I'd like to call the meeting of the University City Council to order on November 25th at 6:30 p.m. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay?
Present.
Councilmember Carr?
Present.
Councilmember McMahon?
Here.
Councilmember Hales?
Here.
Councilmember Cusick?
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Here.
Mayor Crow?
Here. Thank you very much. We now have the agenda before you. City Manager Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, I would ask that item J2 and J5 be moved to the City Manager's Report section of the agenda for consideration.
Is there a motion? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing no discussion, a vote on the amendment. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Are there any further amendments? Hearing none, a motion that the agenda be approved as amended by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have no proclamations before you. You have the October 28th study session minutes regarding economic and fiscal impact study. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the November the 11th regular meeting minutes. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I would at this time like to nominate John Stiepelman for a reappointment to the Green Practices Commission.
There's a motion for Mr. Stiepelman. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like also to nominate Barbara Brain for reappointment to the Green Practices Commission.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no swearing in. Citizen participation is limited to 15 minutes during this portion of the agenda. When a citizen, if you have not been here before, there are forms by the door that you can fill out with your name, address, and telephone number. This particular section of the agenda is for non-agenda items. Each speaker is asked to give their name and address when they come to the podium and limit themselves to 5 minutes. The first request to speak is Ms. Erin Ginsburg.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, my name is Erin Ginsburg. I live at 430 West Point Place. And this Thanksgiving, U-City Trap Neuter Return is giving thanks to Darren Dunkel and Clifford Cross. They are making the Heman Park Community Center available so dozens of feral cats from U-City can be spayed and neutered this coming spring. We're also grateful to OpSpot for agreeing to provide this low-cost veterinary care and Feral Cat Outreach for sharing their loaner traps and expertise. Finally, we're thankful for our compassionate neighbors, folks who feed community cats and help lost dogs get home safe. Thank you for making U-City a kinder place, and happy Thanksgiving.
Our next request to speak is Leif Johnson. You need to hit the button, Leif, on the bottom, please. Like
there
that.
You go.
Okay.
Leif Johnson, 836 Barclay Square, University City. I have an update on the destruction of local governments in St. Louis County. Seems that things are going very well. City Mayor Crewson has approved $100 million of the $200 million of the 40-year bonds to expand America's center. And then there's the $240 million for a new soccer stadium. Coming up, maybe more stadiums and TIFFs, possibly a marina, a sports complex, riverfront renewal with luxury high-rises, or an amusement park. County Executive Page and the governor have chosen their freeholders, who met on November 12th. The media hype for the freeholders will be combating racism. And it looks like they want to consolidate the city and county school districts in the mega government. The theme will also be racism, or as Pat Washington might say, educational equity. Why would a bankrupt city float several hundred millions of bonds worth of, several hundred millions of dollars worth of new bonds? There are two reasons. One, elimination of the municipalities in the county will give the new city-county conglomerate government control of sales taxes. This will greatly improve the capacity to service existing bonds and float new ones. Two, the International Monetary Fund warned on October 16th that there was a potential for a recession half as bad as the 2008 Great Recession. The Federal Reserve Board responded by pumping in short-term credit and lowering interest rates, but the bubble needs more liquidity, for which governmental bonds are highly desirable, since the taxpayer must pay. Councilmen, council members, Mayor Crow, you have given us devoted service in the interests of the people of U City. We worked for your election, and we have been rewarded by your actions, especially in restoring our ambulance service and in hiring Mr. Rose, who spent weeks rescuing our finances from the fakery and misappropriations of Shelley Welch. Strength of the American Republic depends on an informed electorate. I am saddened to say that I believe you have failed to adequately report to us what the condition of the city was when you took office. What were the needs? What was accomplished? And what you intend now to do? It would have been very informative if you had told us who the persons were who opposed the TIF and what were their connections. I proposed to two people in particular, and others also, to compile a weekly or biweekly email newsletter to inform the public. I believe if a council member or the mayor asked persons they know to create an email newsletter, those persons might do so. The April election is upon us, and we need that newsletter. Without an informed electorate, we could lose some of you. And that would plunge our city back into the name-calling, malfeasance, secrecy, disdain for the citizens, phony lawsuits, privatization, and starvation of city services, including fire and police, that we suffered under Shelley Welch. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes our citizen participation portion of the agenda. We'll now move forward with a public hearing on zoning text amendment to Article 7. The opening time for the hearing, Madam Clerk, will be 6:38. Do we have any requests to speak?
None at this time.
Thank you very much. The closing time for the hearing will be 6:38. The next public hearing will be for liquor license for Original J's Tex-Mex Barbecue at 7359 Forsyth. The hearing is opened at a little bit later in 6:38. Are there any requests to speak?
None at this time.
Then I will declare the public hearing closed at, maybe it's clicked over to 6:39. Thank you very much. That concludes the public hearings. We'll now move forward with the consent agenda with items number 1, 3, 4, and 6. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose, you now have three items on your report.
Honorable Mayor, the first item is a presentation by Public Works Director Sinan Alplasan, and he wants to provide you with an update on the stormwater plan for MSD. Mr. Alplasan?
Sorry. The update is for the River De Pere study by Army Corps of Engineers. As you see on your Council Agenda Item cover memo, this is a back and forth between different offices to get the necessary documents executed. And so out of the process, we have a University City signature and date date of January 2020, and Army Corps St. Louis District Office execution of agreement in the same month, and our long-awaited project design team kickoff meeting that will start the general reevaluation report works for University City in the upper University City branch of the River De Pere watershed is scheduled for February 2020. We're intending to complete these dates up to their make their scheduled dates actual dates or beat those dates, and then come back for in another 90 days to give council another update. Our Army Corps Division Office Representative Sean Sullivan is also here to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions of either Mr. Alpazlan or of Mr. Sullivan? Hearing none. Mr. Rose, thank you.
Honorable Mayor and Council Member, the next item asks Council to allocate $57,750 for Phase 1 of the internal audit services. The purpose for the audit is to conduct a detailed review of purchasing, payables, solid waste billing, and grants management. Brown Smith Wallace is a local firm that has extensive experience in auditing these types of services as well as others. And I'm recommending approval of this item and would be happy to respond to any questions that you have.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there discussion? The discussion that I had previously with the city manager was more a question of process due to the amount of the bid as to whether or not there was a need for this to go out for a competitive bid.
Honorable Mayor, I spoke with our city attorney. There is not a requirement to go out for bidding in this instance because Brown, Smith, and Wallace has extensive background in this area, as well as a connection to the county, which, as you know, provides some of our revenues. I believe that it was the best provider.
Thank you very much. Any other questions from members of council? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Oh, I'm sorry, did I skip a motion? No, I think I got a motion, didn't I, up front, from Mr.
Yeah.
I thought every now and then I slip up, Larit, not that one. Just because I've got cough medicine on. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Space needs study, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Member, this item asks Council for authorization to conduct a space needs assessment to determine space needs throughout the organization. The cost for the study is $141,900 and is proposed to be allocated $85,140 out of the police facility project, $30,000 out of the capital fund project, and $27,760 from general fund reserves. This item asks that we be allowed to amend the Trivers contract to conduct the study. and I would be happy to respond to any questions that you have.
Is there, before questions, is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crowe. City Manager Rose, the reason I asked to have this moved is because I did have several questions, and specifically on page J55. And wanted to apologize, first of all, because I was so busy this weekend and this week that I forgot to email those questions. But what I wanted to ask about is, and what I really wanted to get a better understanding is, under programming, it says, number two, it says, police department program developed to the previous annex study will be reused. If you could explain that, does that mean what I think it means in that? We're adding the police study that Trevor's previously did to this report, to this study.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, that's correct. Any information that was developed as a part of the annex review would be, that is usable, would be used as a part of, would be integrated into this study as well. That does not mean that we are double paying them. I want to stress that. Portion has already been covered, the cost of it, but we would be able to use that information and reduce the overall cost for this study.
Okay. So then my question about that is, well, what I would ask is why? And the reason I say that is because is this. You know, I want to first say that, you know, Councilman Clay made a great suggestion in having a space needs study, and I think that, and I appreciate that. But when I look at this, and I'm looking at some of the things that are written here, I have a problem in that. If we use that, if we use that previous study, does that eliminate the annex? Because, you know, the previous study was directed into putting the police in the annex. So now are you saying that we're going to use that or reuse this for this new study and eliminate the annex as a possible move for any other department? Because we've already dedicated that to the police station. Is that, would that be the case?
Honorable Mayor and Councilmember Smotherson, what we will provide to you is simply a recommendation on based upon the facilities that exist throughout the city. Ultimately, council will make that decision as far as where you want the different operations located. The annex, the reason that we went through the initial study of the annex was to determine the possibility of using that, I would say primarily for police operations, but there could be additional operations that might be included as well. So council will make that decision. We'll simply make a recommendation based upon, you know, what is the cost going to be and whether we believe that we can provide continued exceptional services in our police department.
Well, then, if you go drop down to conceptual design, and maybe you can help me understand this, and I'm specifically looking at option two. Option two says ideal workplace and departmental distribution, moving as few departments as possible. And you can explain this after I give my explanation or my feelings about this. When I read that, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're paying $141,000. And normally I've learned in life that I want the biggest bang for my buck. I don't want the least bang. I want the biggest bang. And what this says to me is one of the options that they're going to be looking at is to do as little as possible. And so I really have a problem with that because, you know, and again, I appreciate Councilman Clay in explaining to me something, and I'll let him get into that in a minute. But what this plan, what it's saying to me is that, is something that I've mentioned earlier on, and that is, why couldn't our staff do this? Because if Trevor's for $141,000 is going to have the option of doing as little as possible, we could do that. I mean, again, why are we paying for somebody to not do something? What my whole vision of this is, and my whole thought about this space needs study, was to give us all of the possibilities of departmental moves and what would be best for, in my case, in my feelings, about this city government and where we are positioned and how that looks. So again, this tells to me that they actually have the option to do as little as possible. And so I really have a problem with that. And this is something that I couldn't vote for or approve, because it's not in reference to, it doesn't do what I'm thinking this study should do. Trevor should be allowed to come in with a blank page and look at our buildings and look at what that space needs should be and what would be best for all of the departments, including police. And I'm...
Honorable Mayor and Councilmember Smotherson, certainly we could allow Trevor's a blank sheet as you've described it, but from a practical sense, I think we are limited based upon the just the architecture of this building, and the fact that as we allow Trevor's to look at an infinite number of possibilities, the cost for that study increases significantly as well. So the one question that you posed was, why did we not have staff do this? And I can tell you that we don't have anyone that has the skill set that is needed to, or the acumen in the engineering area that's needed to conduct this type of study. We simply don't, nor do I believe we should, because if they're working for us, then they're probably grossly underpaid for that particular skill set. But that's why I think it's important to contract out. We're asking Trevor's, who has a group of engineers, but who will also be partnering with a company to augment their skill set in this area. So that's the intention, making sure that we have the individuals performing those functions that have the skill set to do it.
If I could interject one statement I would make, and maybe this would help, or I could be incorrect, and hopefully the city manager will correct me, and that is that I understand my colleague's question, but the way I read the conceptual design paragraph is that the first one, the first option, is not based on moving as few as possible. The first option is, how do they see it coming about? Then the second, so they're giving us two options. One is, here's maybe the best way to do it, and the second is, here's the way with the least disruption. Am I reading that incorrectly? So I think we're kind of getting both, because I get your concern about number two, but I think the option one is the one that says, we're really not worried about disrupting departments. This is where we think everybody needs to go. So I'm getting the impression, but again, I'm not in this field of work.
Honorable Mayor, actually, Amy is here and could probably discuss.
Well, let's have someone who can come up and see whether I'm right or wrong. Please come forward if you'll give your name and at least company address for the record. If you'll hit the button at the bottom.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Amy Gilbertson, and you want my address?
Or at least the address of the company you work for.
I'm with Trevor's. We're at 100 North Broadway, Suite 1800. Come visit.
Thank you.
I wanted to clarify also about your first question with the programming. So the program is strictly the square footages and the things we ascertained from the interviewing and the conversations we've had with the police department. It doesn't really have anything to do with space layout or location. So we didn't want to go through that process again and have you pay for that process again, because we have a lot of good current information that we can use. So that's why we clarified that in the proposal, so you know you're not paying for us to go and do that again when we just did it. So then you're correct. We did want to offer two options for consideration. So one, if we don't consider disruption, if we really look at all of your facilities as a blank slate, who should be where based on the information we receive, where would we recommend putting everyone? But sometimes ideal is not what we're able to accomplish due to a lot of other constraints. Budget could be one of those constraints. And so then we wanted to offer a second option that if we can't afford or for other reasons don't think we should be moving everybody, then what would we offer as a second option for your consideration, where we move as few people as possible, there's as little disruption, as little construction possibly as possible. It doesn't mean we couldn't consider upgrading those spaces as well, but what's a second option? And then if you have two options, it's a lot easier to weigh kind of pros and cons of each. You might decide to go forward with neither exactly as they are, but it should give you two really good options that are feasible that you can all have good conversation about. Does that help?
I'm sorry, Amy, you're also partnering with a company to assist you with this, and I just could not remember the name.
Yeah, so we have we are still partnered with HOK for justice programming. We know we're bringing the courts into this, and they also did the programming for the police, and so we want them involved just to be engaged in that role. They have a lot more justice experience than we do. And then WPA is a survey company. So we want to do two things with this. One, make sure we're asking your employees what are their issues, where do they see room for improvement, and then analyze that information. But we also want to hopefully survey the public if you're open to that and get feedback. So we want to improve the staff experience, and we want to improve the public experience interacting with the different departments.
Honorable Mayor, if I could add on to that. Once this study is completed, if it is the desire, we will tell you based upon our existing facilities how we can fit things together and how we can provide effective and efficient services and do that in a way that does not cost a great deal of money, or at least that's affordable for us. But if the council decides that you want to go a very different direction and you want to build facilities in different areas of the city, that is certainly a policy decision that you and the council will decide on. For staff, we simply want to provide you with what we think is a reasonable recommendation relative to the space needs and to how these things can function.
Mr. Clay.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Crowe, and thank you for your presentation, or at least answering questions for us. I had an opportunity to speak to the city manager earlier today about this item, and in our conversation, he shared with me that the decisions that we are potentially making have a lifespan of 25 to 30 years, and I've used the word in the past, generational. I know this is a conversation that the council has been involved in prior to me, but as I entered in this conversation about our facilities, it began with a very tactical question, which was, what do we do with our police? That was the tactical question that I walked into as I came on to council. And I am glad to see that we have evolved from merely the tactical question to a more strategic question of how do we look at all our buildings. I would push us a little bit further in saying that we probably need to spend a little bit of time in the visionary space as well. And what I mean by that is we need to look at a different question. We began this process with where do we put our police? That was the question we wanted to answer. But I think now we need to try to answer a different question. And I think if we're in the visionary space, the question that we need to answer is, how do we best serve our residents with our facilities? That's the question that we need to think about and answer. And when we do that, we begin to think about what could be. Now, there are seasoned folks in this room. We all know that what could be rarely translates into what will be. We have a lot of things to consider, resources and other things. But if we solely focus on what can be, I think we artificially limit ourselves in this process. And so I would really encourage us to focus on what could be, and the process will lead us to what can be. And so if we're focused on residents and what would be best for them, the best use of our facilities, I think we have to engage them. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But if we think visionary, strategic, and tactical, I think we get to a place we need to be. Now, in terms of engaging the public, you mentioned it. There is a survey that's articulated in this process. Mm-hmm. And what I would propose is this, because I think I need to be concrete at this point. This isn't just a dissertation on planning philosophy. So I would think we need some sort of public meeting and public engagement while we're in the visionary space, because we need to engage our residents into what they think our facilities should be. This isn't necessarily what they will be, but what they should be, and we engage them in the appropriate way. Are we asking our residents, where should we put the evidence locker in the police station? No, we're not engaging them at that level. But we are engaging them at this level. What would you like to see in the permitting department? What would make it easy from a facilities perspective? So we might get answers like this. You know what, when I go in, I kind of think what I want, I know what I want, but I'm not entirely sure. If there was a room I could like sit down and talk to somebody about what I'm trying to do, those are the kinds of things that I think we get when we have a process that's a bit more visionary, that encompasses things we might not have otherwise considered. So again, we engage folks. I'm thinking like two meetings. I don't think this necessarily takes us off our timeline. I think we can still finish by June 12th, I believe is the time that we articulated to conclude this process. I don't think it injures that process, but it does engage our community and gets them on board for what we wish to do. At the strategic level, we've identified the buildings we want to look at, and we have a scenario in which I think the strategic imperative for the council, as I've always understood it, is what is the highest and best use of all of our buildings. We don't want any building lying fallow, certainly within our municipal plaza. So how do we begin to really think about that? And this process, I admit, is key to that. It is significant. And so we need to do this. So I think it's necessary, but I don't think the public engagement is sufficient. To the next thing that I'm looking for in this, if we're talking about a strategy, part of a strategy is understanding the end. What are we trying to get to? And so what I would like to see, and I would ask the city manager for this, is after this step, so we've completed this, ends in June, what comes next? What are we doing next? Because if we are focused on, or if we at least know what the end is and what we're trying to get to, it informs how we operate in the present step. So I think we need to get to a point of strategic thinking as we go through this process. The final thing I would ask is less tangible, and it's of my council colleagues and the community. It's that we change our mindset. There is no dearth of opinions among me and my colleagues as to how things should go. But what I am asking for is that we trust the process. We all have ideas on where things should go. The old library, I think, should be a taco stand. We all have those ideas of what should happen. But I would ask that we put those things to the side and trust the process. If you're on the right road, it'll always take you to where you're supposed to be. And so if we do that, I think we come out with something that might even be better than we thought of. Now, as we get to the tactical level, resources are always going to be an issue. Those will confine us. Those things will constrain us. And there's a place for that, but I don't think it's necessarily right now that we limit ourselves. So, again, I'm asking for a couple of things. Public meetings to address how can we best serve our residents, a clear articulation of this process, what happens after the space needs study, and to my colleagues, and I speak more to myself than perhaps anyone, an open mind to the process and the possibilities. Again, always constrained by the reality of our resources.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, in response to adding an element of a public engagement process, we can certainly do that.
Yeah, so we do have, so right now we wanted to make sure that we had some level of engagement in there. We also have a visioning session where we had planned, once we had the survey information, we had done some analysis on it, that we would work together to meet with department heads and kind of do like a four-hour session. You know, I don't think we need to change our fee if the first hour of that has the public invited. If we do an evening event, I mean, I'm not too worried about that. I think that we can plug that in. Also, the second half of our proposal has some flexibility in it because we weren't sure what would be decided in the first half. So as an example, if we decide the best solution is that we're only renovating the annex, let's say, we don't want to set a fee that says we're designing all of the buildings when we don't know that that's where we'll end up. So I think we have some flexibility. We could look at it again. We could rewrite it to include a couple of public engagement sessions, or we could include it in the one that we already have. But we've certainly done that with a lot of our clients, and we're comfortable doing that, and I think it's a fantastic idea.
I think that we could incorporate two public engagements. One maybe just a charrette as a part of the engagement with the department directors, and another one could be a set aside that actually the mayor and council could do if that's
sure.
Your preference. But we can incorporate that at a pretty minimal cost. With regards to the next steps, the next step after we know exactly what space needs exist is to identify a way of financing it and make some decisions on priorities, what's going to be first, second, and third, because I would suspect that the needs will far outweigh the resources available to meet those needs. And so I will be going through a priority session with the mayor and council so that you can give me direction on here's the areas that we want you to focus first, second, and third. Once those priorities are established and we've identified a way of financing that, be that whether the city can cover those costs with our existing revenue stream or whether we will need a bond initiative, make some decisions about that, then we're just into the design and construction of whatever facility you as a council decide. So that's really the process that we go through. Did I miss anything, Amy?
I don't think so. That sounds
okay,
right.
Good.
I mean, yeah, I'll just add the last thing we want to do is create something that's not useful or that gets shelved. So we want to keep the momentum going and give you some information that you can really act upon.
One thing I would suggest before I go to Mr. Smotherson is that whether it be a one or two meetings, so be it. But I think we found just by the live streaming itself that there are many different avenues to get our citizens' input. So whether it's one meeting and then lots of and we let people sit at home and have live stream back in, whatever the case may be, there needs to be some way, whether it be the surveys that we did, the emails that we did, the next door that we did. I'd like for us to look at this a little bit more so than the charrettes that we used to have for Olive, where as time went on, they sort of faded. So giving folks the best mechanism by which that they can express their opinions. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Just one question, and that is, I read through the whole thing, and I wanted to just understand, when is it that you'll be talking to the council in reference to, I know that you're going to survey the public, and I know you're going to survey and talk to staff, but when will you be talking to council? Because what I'd like to do is have a discussion or just a survey with the council before we get to that end stage and we review the end result and make that decision. To make sure that we're involved in that process, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see that, so that's all.
Right, sure. I mean, I suppose when I wrote it, I assumed that would be in the portion where we were talking with departments and other vested interests. I didn't write it that way. I'm sorry. but to really answer your question, whenever you want, I can come to as many of these meetings as you want. We can give updates. We can hold a special meeting where we're doing the same sort of thing with this group as we're doing with the department heads if you want it to be different. Building consensus is really important. So often it's better if we can have department heads, council members, and public all at the same meeting, hearing each other. Otherwise, I don't want to have a meeting. I'll do whatever you think, but I would prefer not to have a meeting just with council, get your feedback, and then go meet just with public, get their feedback, because they're not going to be the same. Your priorities aren't going to be the same. You're not going to be hearing each other, and we're not going to be vetting out what's really important and understanding. It's one thing to read it on a piece of paper, read a report, but it's not the same thing as being in the same room. You know, we like to have tables where we mix up people, so we'll make sure council members are sitting with public and departments. That's when we get our best outcomes, and that's how I would love to do it, if you all are open to that.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, my intention will be to work with council to decide when is it that you as a body want to be incorporated into the process. So that's a decision that we don't have to make tonight, but simply knowing that you will want to be included.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I don't have a question for you. If anyone else has a question for...
Very quickly, though, just because I can't see. Ms. Carr, do you have any questions?
None yet, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I am glad that we're taking a comprehensive look. I just want to say, though, that as I read through the packet, I know we did the police needs analysis and looked at the annex. As I read this and understand this, this is looking at the space we've already looked at, but looking at that as well as the rest of the space in Civic Plaza and how all of it can be used and best utilized throughout the entire organization and all of the departments. That said, to the city manager, I think it would probably be helpful as we're starting down through this process for all of us to have the opportunity to see all of these facilities, to go through all of these facilities. As someone who right now is I'm undertaking a house renovation, you walk into something today, and oftentimes you can't tell what the inside looks like from the outside, and sometimes when you go inside, you can't see what it could look like once it's complete. But I think that would be very helpful for all of us as we are considering these questions to have the opportunity to go through and take a look at these facilities, if that would be possible.
Honorable Mayor and Councilmember Hales, I know that CNON has good experience now in doing tours of these facilities, so I'm sure that he would be happy to put a tour together for the council so that you can see all of the facilities and what we're starting with.
So based on the questions that have been presented, is there, I don't necessarily think that there's a need to amend anything that is before the body unless someone feels that there's a level of discomfort that they need to have addressed if we're going to address engagement and if we're going to address all possibilities and if city council is going to be involved in the process. If I am misreading that sentiment in any way, I would ask my colleagues to make a motion to amend something. But if I otherwise, I, after this discussion, intend to call the question and move forward. Those in favor of the item, which is now the space needs a study, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I'll try to trust the process.
Because aye. If you're on the right road, you always end up in the right place. Is that what you said? Is that the quote? Pretty close. those opposed, please signify by saying no. Thank you. The item has passed. Okay, we have now moved through. Are we ready to unfinished business? Am I correct? Okay. Oh, let's move to unfinished business. We have before us Bill number 9395. Madam Clerk, may we have the second reading?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400.2130 thereof relating to off-street parking and loading regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
May we have the third reading?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Section 400.2130 thereof relating to off-street parking and loading regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Smothers and seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Aye.
Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm having difficulty hearing the city clerk. I'm not sure if her microphone is on.
Thank you. Could be that mine was on, too. I'll make sure I turn mine off the next time I have Ms. Reese speak. You have before you now Resolution 2019-16, a resolution establishing Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please. Oh, I apologize, Mr. Cusick.
Yes, Mayor Crowe, how is this task force, this Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force, going to be assembled? Am I asking the question at the right time?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, the resolution is drafted to provide the council with great flexibility in the appointment of the task force. The recommendation from I-5 was the expansion of the EDRST board, and this resolution would allow for that expansion. If you wanted to take an alternative route and simply have the mayor appoint three and the council members appoint to, you have that option as well. So the intention is to provide maximum flexibility, but to reach a decision regarding how you want that board appointed.
So that's not necessarily a determinant at this time?
No. You don't have to make that decision at this time. I'm looking at John. I think at this time it's just the creation of the board, and you can always decide later the makeup of the board. Is that accurate? Okay.
Ms. Carr, I someone gave me a high sign. Ms. Carr?
Thank you. So I don't read the resolution that way. If you look at the now, therefore, be it resolved, it says in item number 2 that the task force shall consist of 15 members who shall be appointed by the city council. The mayor shall appoint 3 task force members, and all other members of the city council shall appoint 2 task force members. If we approve this resolution, I think we pretty much approve it that way. If we wanted something that allowed for an establishment later on, then I think we clearly have to say that. For establishment of distribution.
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem, what the resolution would allow is for you as a council to appoint each member that's on the EDRST board and then make additional appointments to balance out the 15 members. If you decided that that's not the direction that you is your preference, and each council member simply wanted to identify 2 people on their own and the mayor 3, you have the option of doing that. And I believe that that was the intent. I'm looking at John to...
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm still confused because there are 9 members on the EDRST. There are 7 of us, including the mayor. And so if each one of us appoint one of those, that's 7, and then I guess the mayor could appoint 2 more on the EDRST. Is that the way you were thinking of proceeding as a possibility?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, if it is the desire of the council to simply expand the EDRST board, at the meeting when this item was presented by I-5, I believe the mayor, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, indicated if you expand, then he would not make an appointment because he is responsible for making the appointments to the EDRST board. But he would simply allow the 6 council members to fill out the rest of the membership.
So at what point, and I do remember that specifically, so at what point do we then make this decision? Because I can see that some of us would essentially go with that plan, each appointing a member of the EDRST, and others would not. So that's and just, you know, just so you know, two of the members of the EDRST are appointed by the school district, and there may be some changes in their appointments to the EDRST. I don't know exactly how or when they do that, but there may be some changes to their appointments to the EDRST. So then are we really covering all the bases? I'm just asking a lot of questions because I want to make sure that, you know, whatever it is, that we clearly understand what our responsibilities and prerogatives are here.
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, the intention was simply to create the task force tonight and then to place an item on your, tentatively, the December 9th agenda for appointment of the task force.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. McMahon?
So, yeah, I think Councilman Carr's, and thank you, Mayor, I think Councilman Carr's, Councilperson Carr's comments are important because we want to make sure what we're doing. So as the way I hear it, and tell me if I'm wrong, it sounds like we're saying that we're going to have a 15-member task force, that members of the EDRST could be appointed to it in as a whole or not, but then are we basically saying then instead of the mayor shall appoint three, the mayor would have up to three appointments. Each member of council would have up to two appointments, and council has the option to appoint the EDRST as a block, and that covers nine, and then we work from there. I mean, is that really all we're talking about is in that sense?
Well, as the guy who has a few of those appointments, what I would say is that I'm okay with the up to. I am not necessarily interested in the entire EDRST board being that large a part of the task force. I think it is very important for the members of for the task force to have members who are on the EDRST. But as I had said during that meeting, I think if I appoint my three from the EDRST, and by the way, and I don't mind being the first one out of the gate so that then everyone knows who I'm appointing, and then each of you can then make your determinations whether they be current EDRST board members or whether they be citizens who are not part of it. But that way I will have taken my three appointments first, just so you know who they are, and then you folks can take the rest of the appointments, whether they be existing EDRST board members or people from your respective wards or, frankly, from another ward. Does that help everybody just a little bit? Because I think the intent is just to make sure that there is a sounding board from the EDRST, because those folks do work pretty hard on it. But I really don't know that that there is a benefit to have the entire EDRST board on this process, because I think it would be kind of good to get some new eyes looking at this as well. That's just my two cents on that one for the December 9th meeting. I'd be happy to lead the way and get my appointments out to you ahead of time.
And that, I mean, I was going to say that makes sense to me. Really, we're just saying that members of the EDRST are eligible to be appointed to the task force. They're not excluded because of their membership on EDRST. So they're
correct.
They're free game if they want to serve and if we want to appoint them.
Correct. That's correct. Mr. Clay, you have a furrowed brow.
Well, I'm not sure if this conveys what we want it to, the language that's in the resolution. So I don't know. I don't believe this is the place to wordsmith it, but I think we've already heard a couple of, I think, edits that make sense. And so I just don't think this is communicating what we wish it to. So procedurally, I'm not sure what the recommendation would be at this point.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I'm just trying to discern kind of what is it that you have an interest in either amending.
I think Councilman McMahon makes a good point about changing the language from shall to, is it the up to? Was that one of the edits
Honorable Mayor,
that was suggested?
Do you want Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I believe that at this point, we drafted the resolution with the idea that the council could, if you desired, simply expand the EDRST board. What I'm hearing through the discussion is that that's not the desire of the council, that the desire is to take a more traditional route, and that traditional route would be for the council members to appoint two members and for the mayor to appoint three. And that's how this is drafted.
No, I was prepared to answer a question.
Thank you, Mayor. Anticipating that there may be a chance that EDRC members would be asked to serve on it, would it be possible to survey those members first to see if they would be in favor of this should the possibility come up, or being appointed to this task force, members of the EDRST board? Asking them in advance.
Well, the lawyer and politician in me says I never want to ask a question that I don't know the answer to, and I really don't know that I want to hang a apple out in front of somebody and then pull it away. So I'm not sure that I would necessarily suggest that. I think that unless I'm missing it, the mayor gets to appoint three, and I've told everybody that I'll make my three from the EDRST, then you folks can choose from EDRST members if you want to, or you can pick from the general public. But I don't think I would poll, because once you poll and you ask and then they don't get appointed, then the way I grew up, that didn't work.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Mr. McMahon.
After the discussion, I think the language will accomplish either or, because if you pick three off of EDRST and we all want EDRST members, we're going to get those nine. And if we want the additional six, will have to come from someplace else. So by default, it would end up that way or not. So I think the language is written in paragraph two. It could be an expansion of an EDRST. It might not be. It all depends on the appointment. So I think we just stick with 3-2-2-2-2-2, and it'll either work as an expansion or it won't. But the language will create the task force, and we all get to do what we got to do.
So there's still no amendments before us, as I understand it. No one has made a motion to amend, and unless someone in the audience is giving me a high sign over my left shoulder, there's no amendment coming that way. Those in favor of Resolution 2019-16 as presented, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Resolution number 2019-17, who would like to introduce? Motion to approve by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Discussion regarding resolution of the City Council of University City adopt the St. Louis Regional Hazard Mitigation Plan. Hearing no questions, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Who would like to introduce Bill number 9396? Mr. Smotherson. Madam Clerk, would you please give the first reading of Bill number 9396?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Section 400.2140 thereof relating to schedule of off-street vehicle parking space requirements containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. We now move forward to council reports and business. Are there any reports from my colleagues for any of the commissions? Mr. McMahon.
I'll just be brief. The Parks Commission met last week, and they went through their annual review of projects, and to prioritize them, they will put together their report with their priorities and their wish list, essentially, and get that to us in January in time for the budget season to begin. So look forward to that showing up soon.
Thank you very much. Mr. Clay.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Crow. The Senior Commission met last Monday. Among the items that were discussed, first of all, Linda Yule Taylor is serving as the interim Senior Commission liaison. Discussion items included making sure that seniors were counted, particularly University City seniors, in the census. We discussed the topic of the St. Louis County's initiative to address elder abuse. And that's being led by prosecuting attorney Wesley Bell. We talked about the Golden Lions program that meets Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 a.m. That's the program there was some discussion about earlier. Oh, okay. And and then yet there are many seniors have got an opportunity to participate in getting a free turkey for the Thanksgiving holidays yesterday, I believe. So, thank you.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. Traffic Commission met last week and reviewed the forthcoming scooter issue. I believe I had to leave early to go to Urban Forestry, but I believe they are still going to be talking about that perhaps in the next month. And then Urban Forestry met and received a new list of city trees that the city will be planting in the tree lawns, and it was an incredibly thorough and exhaustive list of various trees, and it was a very good presentation by our new forester, whose last name I forget. His first name is Jacob. Anyway, as I understand it, the list of city trees that are planted went from a rather short one page to I think it was three or four pages of different trees with different specifications for the various areas, how much tree lawn they have to work with, and it was very, very, very interesting. So that's it.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Mayor. I've been meeting extensively with the Plan Commission, and they have received the responses to the RFP or RFQ that was put out for developing the comprehensive city plan update. That will take place in 2020. So they will now, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Cross, and we will now have a joint meeting with the City Council to hear presentations from those firms that have submitted responses, and will shortly be making a decision on who will be helping us develop the comprehensive city plan update.
Yes, he is nodding his head.
Good.
Technology is amazing. Was that it, Ms. Carr?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
There are no other citizens who have signed up for citizen comments. Are there any further council comments by my colleagues this evening? Oh, there are. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Earlier in the evening, I nominated two individuals for reappointments to the Green Practices Commission, and at this time I would like to thank those two people for their past service to University City, and again thank everyone that serves on our boards and commissions. And if you have the desire to serve on a board or commission, please see Ms. Reese and fill out an application, because we would love more citizens to be on our boards and commissions. And again, I thank them and everyone that serves on our boards and commissions.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I want to make this presentation as quick as I possibly can. And I want to ask the help of my wife and Ms. Pat McQueen. What I wanted to show is this, and I wanted everybody to kind of get the impact and understanding of something that Councilmember Clay and I have to deal with. And it really struck me in a profound way when I looked at this report. And this report is the vacant properties report that Ms. McQueen asked for, and I was really struck by that. So I wanted to kind of give an impact visual view of what that report looks like, and you'll have to turn around, yes. Now, and what that report states, that these are the vacant properties in University City. What you're looking at right now is Ward 1. And Ward 1 of that 28-page report is basically 4.5 pages. And I was actually surprised about Ward 1 having that many vacant properties. But, again, I just wanted to show you that's Ward 1. Now, what they're going to show you is Ward 2. And as they pull that out and get that together, Ward 2 report of that 28-page report. You all are backwards again. Go ahead. Turn around.
You two are very good at this. Thank you. It's quite a team effort here.
I know. Ward 2 is 8 pages.
And again, that's 8 pages of a 28-page report. Thank you all. Now, this is what I really wanted you to understand and see. And again, I think it's absolutely important to see this. And that is, remember I said this is a 28-page report. So you have 4.5 pages from Ward 1, 8 pages from Ward 2. This is what Councilmember Clay and I have to deal with, and this is Ward 3. And I'll be quiet for a second because I want you to see. This is Ward 3. Of that 28-page report, 15 pages is Ward 3. Now, I'm not asking you to comment. I'm not asking you to reply. I just wanted you to kind of see an example of some of the calls and the things that we have to deal with in Ward 3. But what I actually wanted to say is what that means to me is that it says that how do we address this issue? How do we address this problem? And I think it says that what we need is a housing plan. And that housing plan is something I'm hoping that we work on very soon. Because, you know, there is a difference. There is a problem. It's 3 times as much as Ward 1 and almost twice as much as Ward 2. We get calls, and I can speak for myself, we get calls all the time about vacant properties, the condition of those properties, and the problem that causes the neighbors and that neighborhood. And I can go down the list of the calls constantly. Need to go to this address. Need to go to that address in dealing with this problem. And so what it tells me is that there is some concentrated code enforcement that needs to happen. Something different needs to happen in the Third Ward. Different rules about vacant properties, because we have to address vacant properties differently, because those owners in some cases completely ignore that property for years. And I can tell you specific addresses that the city manager, I've even asked the city manager to come out with me and look at a property. We've been dealing with this property, vacant property, for 7 years. We know who the owner is. We met the owner. And every year we get calls about the derelict problems with that property. Every year I've been on council, that's 4 years now, going on 4 years now, I have gotten calls, and the city manager can verify this, about that property every year. So, again, 15 pages of a 28-page report. Looks like we need more resources and more personnel in the Third Ward. And we just simply need more attention to address this problem. So that's one of the things that I wanted to address. Also, what I wanted to say, too, is the past 2 meetings we've had, one of the examples of having a housing program is the fact that we had Habitat for Humanity come in. And again, a great organization. But we had them come in and they were asking and requesting to put 7 houses in the highest crime area of this city. That's why we need a housing program, because we need to look at that in a different light. I understand it's a great thing for an individual, but as a city councilman and as a city, we need to look at that bigger picture. And that's why it's important to have that housing program. So, and again, the last thing, in the last meeting that we had a request for, and this is a different subject, but it's about economic development on Olive. What I wanted to say about economic development, we had a request for a vehicle service center on the corner of Olive at 8550 Olive, which is probably directly across from the development project that we have ongoing right now. And one of the things that I would ask the city manager in this city and this council to consider is that we have a group now, I think it's I-5, is that correct? It's doing an economic review of that. I would really like to ask that we place a moratorium on doing anything in the 85 to 8200 blocks of Olive, simply to wait to see what that plan comes up with. Because I think that one of the things that we all need to be is on the same page. And right now, we're not on the same page, because I don't think that request for a vehicle service center, and remember, I listened to the meeting, and the guy wanted to put up flags. He wants to sell cars and put up flags. Come on, no. We're not St. Charles Rock Road, and we're not trying to be. But my point is, we all should be on the same page. And that's all I'm asking, is that we wait for that study that could be completed so that economic development, the Planning Commission, and the Council are all on the same page. And I'll end with that. Thank you.
Mr. Hales, do you have any audiovisual assistance this evening?
No, but
you're
will
flying
try
solo.
I will try to be very brief. You know, there was a mention earlier in the night about us looking backwards, and since the mayor has assumed that seat, he's been very outspoken about his desire, and I share it, to move forward. And tonight was one of those kind of interesting nights that, for me, highlight how we've moved forward, how we've moved forward as a city, how we've moved forward as a council. You know, sometimes we're not all on the same page between the seven of us. And, you know, I think we saw some of that tonight during the discussion of the space needs. I think as that goes forward, we're going to have some disagreement over that. We had some discussion and different opinions about the Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force and how that was going to all come together and the appointments and whatnot. I think the really positive thing about where we are today is that there clearly is a level of mutual respect among all of us. There is not a fear that someone's going to try to pull a fast one. And we will get there, how it's going to look, what those appointments are going to look like. I have every faith and trust in my colleagues that we'll get through it, and we will get through other differences and have disagreements, and we'll get through those and move forward in a respectful and in an open and honest way with one another. So thank you.
Right behind me. Ms. Carr, are you good?
I'm fine. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, no more council comments. I would request a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, litigation, hiring, firing, disciplining of personnel matters, and individually identifiable personnel records. Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much for coming. Have a nice holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving. Mr. Carlin, thank you.